Hello, it's Owen Shehan here from Off The Ball, and the FIFA World Cup 2026 is here. And let's be honest, the matchday version of ourselves can look a little committed. Jerseys, face paint, scarves and questionable weather, whatever you have, maybe even a full costume if your team makes a run, you can look a little worse for wear come the end of it all. But the World Cup, it's not just about the football. It's the atmosphere, it's the nights in the pub, it is the watch parties with your mates, and maybe even meeting someone new. That is where Lynx comes in. As an official personal care sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026, Lynx's premium fragrances are here to help you smell your best, even in the middle of full matchday madness. Lynx, smell your best when you look your worst. Now, enjoy your podcast.
Off The Ball, GAA. Does anyone here think Newell's going to win the All-Ireland final? No, thank you. So that question is nonsense. If our supporters want to enjoy it, let them enjoy it.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. World Cup Daily on Off The Ball with Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
Hello and welcome along to Tuesday's World Cup Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up, we look ahead to the first World Cup semi-final between Spain and France in Dallas. Atlanta step up their security measures ahead of England's meeting with Argentina tomorrow night. And Shamrock Rovers have it all to do if they want to stay in the Champions League. But first, France are aiming to become the third team to reach three World Cup finals in a row after Germany and Brazil. The two-time winners take on Spain for a place in the World Cup final, with European champion Spain only appearing in their second semi-final. They beat Germany at this stage in 2010 on their way to lifting the trophy in South Africa. France won 2-0 against Morocco in the quarter-finals. Spain conceded their first goal of the tournament against Belgium in their 2-1 win in the last eight. Didier Deschamps is looking to be part of his fourth World Cup final, having won as captain in 1998 and then coaching France's success in 2018 before losing the final to Argentina in 2022. And the French manager says he knows they've got a challenge ahead.
Yes, I confirm. Spain confirmed that they are the favourites. I don't want to add extra pressure to Luis and their team. He knows very well that people are expecting great things of Spain.
Chelsea's new manager Xabi Alonso says there are a lot of similarities between Spain's current World Cup squad and the 2010 squad he was part of that won the tournament. Alonso's confident Luis de la Fuente's team can deliver the country's second world title.
It brings me a lot of memories from the time that the World Cup that we won. Because of the team, because of the energy that they transmit, because of the control they have on the games.
Kickoff is 8 o'clock. England goalkeeper Jordan Pickford says history is irrelevant as they prepare to take on old rivals Argentina in tomorrow's second semi-final. Diego Maradona's hand of God, David Beckham's red card in 1998 and Beckham's match-winning redemption in 2002 are just some of the standout moments between the two countries. Pickford doesn't want to get carried away with the emotion of the fixture.
Us as England now and us being at our best to beat another top nation, and it's us against them to get a place in the final. And it's a game of football, 90 minutes, 120 penalties, we're ready for anything, and it's us against them at the end of the day, and it's about who comes out on top, and we're fully prepared for that.
England will have a fit and available Declan Rice for tomorrow's game in Atlanta. The Arsenal midfielder was in bed for 3 days with a stomach bug before the quarter-final win over Norway. He's fully recovered now and even took part in a behind-closed-doors training session yesterday. Thomas Tuchel should have a fully fit squad to choose from, apart from the suspended Jarrell Kwanzaa and the injured Jordan Henderson. Now, authorities say there will be increased security measures in place for the game, with police in Atlanta well aware of historical tensions between the two countries. In 1982, Britain and Argentina fought the Falklands War, a 74-day conflict which resulted in the deaths of 649 Argentine soldiers, 255 British combatants and 3 civilians. The British Overseas Territory, known in Argentina as Las Malvinas, remains the subject of a sovereignty dispute between the two countries. After Argentina's dramatic 3-2 win over Egypt in the last 16, some players were filmed chanting a song which made reference to the islands and Argentina greats Diego Maradona and Lionel Messi. Argentine War Veterans Federation has called on fans to focus on the football rather than politics. And on Monday's Off The Ball breakfast, writer Marcela Mora y Araujo told Ger Gilroy and then the call about the situation around the Falklands War and the build-up to the match in Argentina.
I think it's the reluctance is on everybody's part, not just Scaloni. I think he said it more explicitly. Like someone asked the question, and he just said, no, no, no. This is just a game. I think, obviously, that a war is so real and so serious. And I think if we're going to try and stereotype the nations or adjudicate to an entire nation a whole posture on a topic as big as a contentious armed conflict, we live in the internet age where you say one thing about something and immediately you get labelled as being part of a group of others who say that, you know. So some people are saying, this, let's keep the war apart. And they're immediately accused of being libertarians or aligned with the government of Argentina because Milei, the libertarian president, is known for not having ever made a particularly big deal of the Falklands or Malvinas. So now he is kind of making statements. And I suspect that's partly due to some pressure or advice that says, look, this is a popular issue. We're in the semi-final against England. You've got to take sides now. And I think having met a lot of Falklands War veterans from both sides and also a lot of sort of militant football fans, it's easy to think, oh, these people are the same. And the distinction for them is huge. You know, it's huge. I was writing about one I met a few years ago who'd been involved in a arranged combat in Mexico with the hooligans, which is something that they did in those days. That's, you know, like... But also he was an ex-veteran. And when I made the comparison, he was literally offended. He said, nobody hates war more than a soldier. This is not about hate. This is about love and joy and beauty. Even though the way they chose to manifest that was through ridiculous sort of prearranged combats to steal each other's football flags. In the same way that I say if someone says, let's not make this about war, they're accused of being libertarian, there's an interesting voice that says precisely the reason why we must chant about war is so that we can let rip of these emotions without having to resort to going to war. So this is the outlet, this is the role of football. And I have time to hear that out. I'm not sure I agree. A football manager needs the players focused and concentrated and away from the noise. And this noise is nasty, you know, it's ugly.
And if you want to hear that back in full, you can do so now in your OTB football podcast feed. Former Ireland international Kevin Kilbane joined Tommy Rooney in the football show last night ahead of both World Cup semi-finals. And after Thomas Tuchel's and Jude Bellingham's public spat after the win over Norway over the weekend, Kilbane said this was Bellingham's chance to clap back at his manager.
Clearly, I feel as though this is maybe the first opportunity that Bellingham's had to bite back at Tuchel after what had happened over a year ago when Tuchel was questioning even his involvement in the World Cup. If you remember going back to it, he was questioning a lot of things around Bellingham and his involvement just in the team at that particular time it was. But coming into the World Cup, it was crazy as it seems. The question was on many journalists' minds or whatever was, is Bellingham going to be part of the team? Is he going to drop Bellingham like he dropped Trent Alexander-Arnold? Once it was clear that he was going to play Bellingham clearly is unhappy with one or two things that has been said about him personally. And it looks to me, again, as an outsider looking in, it looks to me like the relationship probably isn't all great as many would seem. Maybe I'm wrong on that one. Because if it was all grand and all happy, he would have batted that off quickly. Mm. Would have just said, I saw Harry Kane's comments regarding it. He said, yeah, he's trying to get the best out of us. I feel as though it was a quick snipe just to get back at him because this was his first chance. And the reason what probably told me why he's doing it is he's simply undroppable now. He'll play every minute of every game because they can't take him off. He knows that. He knows his performances have shown that as well. So that's the way that I read that. It was an opportunity just to bite back at it.
It's not like there isn't a long history of star players and managers having fallouts at World Cups, right?
Can you imagine, Tommy? Can you imagine? Jesus, honestly. Mm. It was something that was said to me as well, though, talking about Tuchel and his relationship with the media. Mm-hmm. He almost breaks down every game to the media, tries to give the, you know, every journalist he's speaking to great stuff. And it is great. it was something that maybe I would that I was learning when I was doing my coaching badges on the pro license. A majority of the pro license itself is basically dealing with players, dealing with management above and below you, dealing with the media and how you actually come across, almost trying to sell yourself at every opportunity, trying to sell you what can you bring to the conversation, essentially. So it does become about you as the coach, and that's what's kind of been mentored now for a long time. So Tuchel knows that with that type of comment, he's going to bring a little bit of pushback from the group of players. The players themselves, look, whatever you're going to make of it, Tommy, it's just it's another storyline. The players, yeah. I can guarantee internally, it will be nothing.
Yes.
It will be nothing to them. They're just getting on with another training session, going into the game. It's absolutely, whether or not he addresses it to Cole Bellingham, he probably doesn't even address it, Tommy, and he just gets on with it, and that's it.
The Dutch Football Federation has announced that a referee who was dropped from FIFA's list of officials for this summer's World Cup has died. Rob Dieperink had been selected as a VAR for the tournament, but FIFA announced in May it had removed him from the list. The 38-year-old had been arrested by Britain's Metropolitan Police in April, but the case was closed without charges being filed after officers concluded the evidential threshold hadn't been met. Dieperink had been a professional referee since 2011 and took charge of his first Eredivisie match in 2017. World Cup Daily and Off the Ball is brought to you by Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026. Smell your best when you look your worst.
Hello, it's Owen Chahan here from Off the Ball, and the FIFA World Cup 2026 is here. And let's be honest, the matchday version of ourselves can look a little committed. Jerseys, face paint, scarves and questionable weather, whatever you have, maybe even a full costume if your team makes a run, you can look a little worse for wear come the end of it all. But the World Cup, it's not just about the football. It's the atmosphere, it's the nights in the pub, it is the watch parties with your mates, and maybe even meeting someone new. That is where Lynx comes in. As an official personal care sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026, Lynx's premium fragrances are here to help you smell your best, even in the middle of full matchday madness. Lynx, smell your best when you look your worst. Now, enjoy your podcast.
On this show, as entrepreneurs, we often talk about the courage it takes to start something from scratch. Every successful brand begins with a vision, a purpose, and someone willing to take a chance on an idea. And while every founder's journey is different, many share the same determination to overcome obstacles, innovate, and build something meaningful from the ground up. That's why I always enjoy hearing founder stories, because behind every product is a real person who has invested time, energy, and passion into building something meaningful. Walmart is helping customers discover products from thousands of small brands while giving founders opportunities to grow, reach new communities, and share the stories behind their businesses. By making it easier to discover these brands, Walmart helps connect customers with innovative products and the entrepreneurs whose passion, resilience, and creativity help bring them to market. So whether you're an entrepreneur yourself or a dream driver looking to be inspired, it's exciting to see more opportunities for small brands to be discovered. Visit walmart.com to learn more about the small brands and founder stories available in your community.
Shamrock Rovers defender Lee Gray says the players believe they can turn it around in their Champions League qualifier tonight. Rovers are 2-0 down to Floriana after the first leg in Malta in the first qualifying round. Rovers captain Roberto Lopez is available once again after his return from the World Cup, but Matt Healy is suspended. He was sent off in the first leg last week. Grace told Rovers in-house media they have to make up for last Tuesday.
Yeah, very disappointing, especially with the goals we conceded. I know we were down to 10 men for a second, but still a very poor goal from our point of view. First one as well, very poor. Everyone here still believes that we can turn it around. That's the belief we have to have. So hopefully we can do that, and as I said, make it another special night in Tala.
That game in Tala kicks off at 8 o'clock. John O'Shea is confident Seamus Coleman will find a club for next season. The 37-year-old left Everton at the end of last season and is now reportedly training with Sheffield United. Speaking to Enda Coughlan Off the Ball Breakfast, the Ireland assistant manager O'Shea said Coleman is still so important to the Irish setup.
When you think back to the start of the campaign, we wanted everyone playing. That was the ideal scenario, to think that, to really have the challenge of if we can get enough people playing. But then we soon realised, obviously, Seamus for the group, in terms of, how he goes about lifting the group, in particular, by playing or not playing even, whatever the case may be, and how he is at his club. in terms of fitness-wise, match fitness, that he was going to be, and he has been obviously since crucial for the group. And but he's helped them other players, whether it be Darryl O'Shea, Jason Knight, Nathan Collins. He keeps pushing Jake as well. He has that a bit of a closer connection to Jake from the, obviously the club. But he keeps niggling and driving those boys to take the responsibility. And it's almost what I would feel like as well. It's better coming from a player to player type of thing, to have that, I suppose, motivation, pushing each other. Yeah, obviously, don't get me wrong, the coaches have to do it as well, but I think it just sometimes has that extra push and value when it's going from player to player too. So let's see what happens for Seamus over the next few weeks. I know there's been plenty of interest in him, but he's taking his time, and he'll do what's right for him, because he's definitely earned that right.
Does it depend on what he does now at club level, in terms of if he goes on to another club and starts playing, he's an obvious candidate to be selected for the squads? But if he's not playing at club level but still available, is he someone that would be selected for an Ireland squad in theory? Or is he someone that you might look to bring into it as a coaching capacity? Because we're not really sure. I know Seamus Coleman has alluded that he will continue to play football, but he hasn't confirmed it yet.
Yeah, well, I think that's the plan, as I'm aware of, that he wants to keep playing.
Right.
That's his motivation, to keep playing. But if he decides otherwise, listen, I'm sure there'll be conversations to be had. But I think, like I mentioned, Seamus is on the right either way. To make sure himself and his decision, maybe there could be clubs interested in him and he doesn't want to move that far away, or he doesn't want to move here or to a different country or whatever the case may be. So let's just wait and see. But he's definitely a huge asset to the team, playing wise first and foremost. And then we'll see you after that.
And you can listen to Off the Ball Breakfast each and every weekday morning from 7:30 on the Go Loud app, and it's also on YouTube. And Liverpool's forgotten man Harvey Elliott will get a chance to show he can resurrect his career, according to new manager Andoni Iraola. The midfielder was on loan with Aston Villa last season, but was only involved in a handful of games. The Spaniard also wants Curtis Jones to stay at the club, as he continues to be linked with a move to Italy and to Inter. Iraola says Elliott has returned to pre-season early, and that he wants to be part of the club's future.
I've seen him with this eagerness of showing himself, getting himself ready again. He will have a chance during the pre-season. We will need him.
And that's about all we have time for in today's World Cup Daily. I'm Phil Egan. I'll be back with more tomorrow.
World Cup Daily on Off the Ball with Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.